This weekend there was a yard sale across the street, and I was walking from the church over to the house, and I got to the house, to the porch, and there were these kids, and they were yelling, "Woohoo! Look what we got! Look what we got! Hey, look what we got!" And I was like, well, I didn't like the sound of it, you know? Like they were trying to scandalize people as they were walking by. "Look what we got! Woohoo!" And I said to myself, I'm not going to turn around. They're not talking to me. I'm just going to go into the house. But it got closer. They crossed the street. "Hey, look what we got. Look what we got." I said, all right, I'm not going to give this a lot of energy. I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to speak to them kindly and gently, but firmly, and tell them I know you could do better than this. I was ready. I was uncomfortable, but I was ready. And I think uncomfortable is exactly what this text does to us. It makes us really uncomfortable. Right? Here is this rogue exorcist, and he's out doing stuff, and then there's Jesus telling us that it would be better for us to have a millstone thrown around our neck and thrown into the sea than to have a little one to stumble, to cause a little one to stumble. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, and your foot and your eye, all of that stuff, it's just really uncomfortable. And then at the end he says, have peace in yourselves. What is all of this? What's going on here? Well, I thought about this all week, and not much I could do with it. And then it dawns on me, as I'm being uncomfortable, that's why I'm uncomfortable, for a really good reason in this text. And that is because Jesus is telling us, he's turning our world inside out, is what he's doing. Because we always think that the good stuff comes from within us, in the group. If we're in the group is going to take care of itself, and we're going to have good things come from the group, whether it's a congregation, a community, whatever. That's what we think is really good. And things that are going to be a threat to this group are the things that come from outside. And so there are times when we circle the wagons and we say, okay, we're safe now. We're going to defend ourselves against those outsiders. And Jesus is doing exactly the opposite in this text. The whole story is about the good outside and the not so good stuff that comes from inside. The scandal that comes from inside. And so the whole thing is inside out. And it begins with his disciples telling Jesus, we saw this guy cast out demons in your name and we told him to stop. Can you imagine this? Right? And the reason that it's happening is because these disciples are really, really insecure. Mark makes this really clear, because back in chapter 9, we didn't get to read it today. We could have gotten a good head start by reading it. Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And what does he meet? He meets this whole group of people, his disciples, some scribes, some other people, and they're all arguing. They're having a fight. What's the fight about? And then a man comes up and he says, my son is possessed by a demon, and I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't. And Jesus says, oy! How long am I going to be with you, you faithless generation? And he proceeds to cast the demon out. But the disciples couldn't do it, see? And then, rich irony, after that, they're walking along and they're arguing about which of them is the greatest. All of this is just this great insecurity, right? I mean, they couldn't cast out the demons, so they're going to argue about who's great. Come on, please. Okay. And then they see this other guy casting out demons and they get upset with him because he's doing it and he's not following us. Isn't that great? Not following you, Jesus, but not following us, as if we were the ones who were supposed to be followed. So there's this amazing insecurity. If these guys were not so insecure, they could have responded differently. In fact, I'm going to skip back down a little bit to where this whole business of having salt among yourselves. Because this is a rich thing. Having salt among yourselves, when Jesus says that, he's hearkening to these covenants. the covenant that God made with Aaron that he would be a priest of the people, it's called a covenant of salt. Isn't that beautiful? And the covenant with David is called a covenant of salt. Yeah, it's amazing. And what it comes from is two things. One is that salt, what does salt do with food? It preserves it. It makes it last. So a covenant of salt is a euphemism for an everlasting covenant. Okay? You can count on this. We've got it. God will not let go of this promise, of this covenant. And if the guys, the disciples around Jesus, had actually had some of that saltiness, had some of that confidence that this the covenant that God was making and that Jesus was living out was really true, then their response to this exorcist could have been totally different, couldn't it? It would have been, oh, wow, this is amazing. In Jesus' name, you are freeing people from the power of the evil one. You are healing people. You are setting them free. We couldn't do that with that other guy. How do you do it? What are you doing? Teach us and tell us. And hey, you know what? We actually know this guy, Jesus. Do you want to meet him? He would love to meet you. I'm sure you'd love to meet him, wouldn't you? That's a salty answer to a guy who's casting out demons in Jesus' name. But the disciples don't have that yet. Their egos are still bruised. They're still insecure. And so Jesus says, don't do that. And then I think what he's saying after that is, in fact, that kind of insecurity, that kind of lack of trust in God is exactly what's going to cause scandal among us. That's what's going to happen. And it happens so easily. You ever had a conversation with somebody about a topic that you're really passionate about? Nobody's had that lately, I'm sure. You have this conversation with somebody and you're all of the answers are just rolling right out of you, and everything that the person says is just setting you up for a better answer, right? And you just know that this is going so well, and then you look up and you realize you're the only person in the room. And this conversation isn't really happening, it's happening in your head only. Please nod if you've had this experience, because I feel like I'm the only one. Right? Okay. You know, when you start doing that, cut it out. Like a hand. Cut it out. Because all that's doing is fueling our own self-righteousness. And that kind of self-righteousness is a scandal for the church. We've got the answers right. You've got the answers wrong. I'm going to show you. And if I can't show you, I will humiliate you in the process. That's a scandal. And we are called to avoid giving scandal. Have you been watching the news and see all of the horrible stuff, the Haitians that were here had to be shipped back, all the people from Central America coming, and they're leaving poverty and all of these things, and or see the victims of racism or violence in any way, and you say to yourself, there's the problem. They're the problem. Instead of saying, dear Lord Jesus, have mercy. How horrible their life must be that they flee, leave their homes to try to find something better. And if you're like me and you've said that, cut it out. Cut it out. Because that is a scandal too. That Jesus, the compassionate one, sees those people, not as those people, not as the problem, but as beloved children of God. And I know that there's an exaggeration about cutting your hand off and your foot off and all of that, but I guarantee you there are people in this room who would, if their granddaughter or grandson or son or daughter were in the kind of predicament that those people are in, they would cut off their arm to get them out of it. They would do anything, move heaven and earth, to get those they love out of such a situation as these people are fleeing. That's not an exaggeration. That would happen. If it would help, they would do it. You would do it. We would do it. And one of the scandals is this. We think it's only about our children and grandchildren. And Jesus is saying, they are your children and your grandchildren. The passion you have for yours, have for them. Because God does. Do not allow the inner stuff that comes upon us so that we can separate ourselves cause scandal. And we do it, and we do it all the time, and I am the best at it. And it's uncomfortable that Jesus is saying, no, the problem isn't the outsider. It's us insiders. It's you. Because you do not trust God. Have some salt. Know and remember the beautiful covenant that God has made with you. Because Christ has died, you will not die. You will live. Because Christ loves you, you can live and in love boldly and fearlessly. Love. Enough to give even a cup of water or receive a cup of water, which is enough. It sort of reminds me of the, you know, Baptists look at us and they say when we baptize kids, that's a baptism? No, get more, you need more water. But we Lutherans say, a cup is enough. A cup is enough for the covenant to be given. And it's a covenant of salt. So, and that covenant will be brought to us, and it will save us as well. Whether someone gives us a water or whether we give someone water, we will not lose the reward. And so I'm back on the street. I'm on my porch, and there's the three young men, middle-agers. They're coming across, and they're saying, "Look what we have! Look what we have!" And I'm going to tell them that they can do better. And I turn around, and they're holding up a picture, framed picture. And I'm looking at it, and it's the framed picture of a photograph that you all know called Grace. It's the old man sitting with the loaf of bread, his hands folded, a cup of soup in front of him, and he's saying grace. Do you know that? You know that picture? That's what they're holding up. That's what they're so excited about. And one of the kids says to me, "That's exactly how you're supposed to sit at a meal, isn't it, Pastor?" And I said, "Yes, that is exactly how you're supposed to sit at a meal. Way to go, you guys. That is a beautiful picture. And I don't think you could have gotten anything better at any garage sale anywhere." So in that case, maybe we can say, Jesus saved me from being a scandal to those kids, those outsiders who I know don't go to church. I know those kids. But man, did they do something in the name of Jesus, huh? That's the way you sit at a table. That's the way you sit. Oh, God bless the outsiders. They get it. And they show it to us in surprising ways. May we not be scandalized. Amen.